Yeah, this morning we were, God is so good and he's just amazing. I want to celebrate him, and it's awesome just to celebrate his goodness, his provision, his faithfulness. And I'm just super thankful for who God is to me, but also as we are in a community that we get to just celebrate with each other. So thank you for celebrating with me, and thanks, Russell, for just telling everyone about the job. But this morning, we were supposed to have these guest speakers come, and it was going to be really amazing, and we were super expectant for what the Lord was going to do. But sadly, they actually got COVID, so we're not able to be with us. So you've ended up with me this morning, but I know that even though it was a bit last minute, God has got incredible things for us this morning. It doesn't matter what happens with who's speaking, but I know the Lord has a message for us, and I believe that he's going to move in our hearts if we're open to him this morning. And so what I want to do is I just want to invite us back up to our feet. I know it's a bit stand up, sit down, stand up, but we just want to honor the Lord. And I just feel like with our bodies, it's a good way of just saying, okay, God, we're here and we're ready. And so I just want to pray and just invite Holy Spirit in just to come in and take control and leadership of this time. So Father God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for all of the testimonies that are in the room this morning. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge your presence among us, and we just say thank you. We say thank you for who you are. We appoint you as Lord and King over this meeting, and we just say, Holy Spirit, have your way. Have your way among us, Lord. We have open hearts, God, and would you crack open the hard shells if we're struggling this morning? Would you crack us open and soften us, Lord, to what you have to say to us this morning, God? We want the fullness of you in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and take your seats. So this morning, the title of my message is Presence-Centered Living. And as I was praying about this, I was going to talk about prayer. But yesterday, I felt like the Lord had redirected a few things to me when I was praying for the gathering. And I felt like he was just talking to me a bit about what does it mean to live a presence-centered life? What does it mean to live a spirit-filled life? So this morning, it's all about Holy Spirit. It's all about his glory, his fame, his kingdom. It's all about him and celebrating him this morning. And the Christian walk, I don't know if you can relate to me in this, but I feel like the Christian walk is all about how the Holy Spirit is in our lives, how he's directing us, how he's leading us step by step forward. And to me, life is pretty pointless without the Spirit. Life is pretty pointless without having God living inside of us. I don't know what I would do if God wasn't living inside of me. I don't know which way I would turn. And God's presence is an anchor point for us to lock into for our lives. It gives us purpose. It gives us a reason to live. And it gives us a calling in which we can partner with God and to go forwards with him. At my baptism, we talked about baptisms happening very soon, but at my baptism when I was 18 years old, I went in for some prophetic encouragement before the baptism actually happened. So I went into this small room. There was a few people in there that were just ready to pray for me. And they were praying and they were prophesying. This one guy said to me, he saw this picture of a glass jug. And the glass jug was about two-thirds full of water. And he was saying, if you were to pick up the jug and to actually try to pour out the water, it would require you to have some level of effort to do that. And he was saying, actually, your greatest level of effectiveness will be when you're the most full of the presence of God. Where if the jug is completely full up with water, all you have to do is just like knock it and the water is going to spill over. If you pick it up, it's going to start to spill before you have any control over it. The more filled we are with the presence of God, the more we can be effective in his mission that he's calling us to. And God designed us to be intimately connected with his presence. And we see that with the Garden of Eden. You see Adam and Eve, they were created for relationship with the Father. And they were created to walk with the Father, to commune with the Father, to speak with the Father, to work the land and to be in constant relationship with him. And we see when they sinned, they were cast out of his presence. And sin couldn't be in the presence of God, so they were cast out of the Garden of Eden. And God sets out on his rescue mission. Throughout the whole of the Bible, you can see God's pursuit for reconnecting with his children. This gap that was made between Adam and Eve and mankind and God through sin. God was trying to close the gap time and time and time again. And you see that as God looks to dwell with his people. And this is illustrated in many different ways throughout the scriptures. For example, God with the tabernacle in the wilderness, he invades a place. He invades Israel's sinful state. And he comes and he says, I want to dwell with my people. And then also the temple as well. It was another fixed point where the presence of God would physically dwell with the people. And then if you fast forward a little bit further into the New Testament, you see that Jesus, God himself, comes and he dwells among the people that he came to do mission amongst. And then even further than that is that the Holy Spirit comes to dwell inside of us. We are fully restored. We are fully reconnected through the blood of Jesus. And a few weeks ago, I spoke about the story of Israel coming out of slavery, coming out of the land of Egypt. And I was kind of reflecting on this. And God, I felt like he was speaking to me about the message that Moses carried back to Pharaoh. And the message that God gave him was, go back to Egypt, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go so that they may worship me. And see, God sent him back with a mission, and it was not just to get them into freedom so they could do whatever they want, but so that they could be a people group of worship that was centered around the presence of God. See, God's intention was to lead Israel to be partakers in acts of worship and live lives around God's, as God is the priority. And he takes this further as well when he instructs Moses to build the tabernacle. And we see the tabernacle as a very intricate and beautiful building, a construction where God's presence would fill it and dwell with the people. And what would happen is that the Israel gave lots of things to Moses to steward in terms of building the tabernacle. They were all involved with the building of it. So they would give gold, silver, and bronze. They would give like oils and spices and fragrances and all of these things for ceremonial uses. They would give scarlet yarns and fabrics and stuff. And they were all used to, they all gave something to contribute to the building of the house of God that was with the people. And I believe that would have been a very exciting moment. Imagine that. You've just come out of Egypt and Moses has said, let my people go so that they may worship me. God finally comes and dwells among the people, and then they all get an opportunity to contribute and to bring something, to build, to construct a house, to construct a place where God's presence would be like in their midst. That's an incredible thing to be able to contribute to building a place where the presence of God dwells. And the tabernacle was a place where Israel would come to worship. They would bring sacrifices. They would interact with God, and only Moses would go into the Holy of Holies, and only the high priest after Moses would go into the Holy of Holies. But Israel would come, and this was where they would actually commune with the presence of God, ultimately through a veil, through some filters. But they would come, they knew where their God was, they knew how to access his presence. And as Zach was preaching the gospel earlier during the communion, the what Jesus actually did for us on the cross and how we are now reconnected with him, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us. And it says in 1 Corinthians 6:9, or do you not know that the body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? See, we're now the temple of God, that where he dwells. We are now the vessel in which he comes and fills us, and he wants to use us for his kingdom. And through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, we are now recipients of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And this actually comes with responsibilities. This comes with the responsibility of stewarding this opportunity to live for Jesus and to live a Spirit-filled life. We have a responsibility to steward this life with the Spirit. And in my life, I've had different seasons of feeling connected with God, feeling like I'm hearing the Lord's voice and I'm moving in the presence of God, and I feel secure in who God is in my life. And I've also had, and you might be able to relate to this, dry seasons of where it feels like you're kind of just wandering around in circles. You're a little bit confused and you're a little bit like, I don't really know what I'm doing here. I'm not really hearing the voice of God. I feel a bit dry. I feel a bit brittle. And all I see is just sand and desert, just like the Israelites did. And I reflect on kind of those seasons of my life. And I think, what was going on during that time? And I look at my friends and I look at other people. Maybe it might be church leaders or missionaries or people that you really respect and family members and things. And you think, man, like they're living lives for Jesus. And they look like on fire, spirit-filled Christians. Why have they got something that I don't? Why is my experience not lining up with their experience? And when I've reflected on those seasons in my life, I've come to the kind of the conclusion that my spiritual disciplines, the structure of my life, the way I'm pursuing the Lord has kind of gone by the wayside. And I can look at those seasons and I think, oh, how much was I praying? How much time did I spend in worship? How much time did I spend seeking God's presence in my secret place? And I've come up with all of these excuses. I'll share a few of those. I'll let you into some of my excuses in those times. It's like, man, I just don't have the time to spend with God. Maybe you can relate to that. Maybe life is super busy. Maybe you're just struggling to even have time just to even think clearly. And we're just so bogged down with all of these things, work, family life, all of these things that are going on, these extra things in life that fill your mind and it's busyness. You know, just like, I just can't concentrate and I don't have the time to spend with God. And maybe because you're too busy, you might not have the energy. Maybe we're just too tired, we're just too, like, oh, we're just not feeling like we need to. We just need to, like, zonk out and watch some Netflix and go to bed. You know, like, we've all been there, you know. And maybe, like, another excuse, one of my excuses, I go to church once a week. You know, I'm doing all right, you know. I'm able to, like, worship once a week, and I check in with God on a Sunday, and I see my friends, you know, and actually not really realizing that I've strayed and I've become super lukewarm in my faith. And my most famous excuse for not spending time with God is I just need some me time. I just need some time for me to think clearly, to do something for me, and I've become the centerpiece for my life, and I've started to build my own dwelling place, and I've started to like think about my future and think, oh, I need to build and construct a life that looks pretty secure, pretty safe. I need to build a life that is like, I don't know, I can take care of the financial burdens of life. I'm all good. I've got all my ducks in a row, so to speak. And I forget that actually I'm not called to just build my own comfortable, safe, nice, and secure life. I'm not called to just prioritize my retirement later on in life. I'm called to actually live for Jesus. I'm called to live by the Spirit. And I'm called to build a place in my life for the Holy Spirit to dwell and infill. So if I am constantly focused on me, myself, and I, and how I can do life for me, like, man, like you're going to be pretty dry. Like, I was pretty dry, and that was my experience of why I went through those seasons. And so I want to just challenge us all this morning. I just want to just say, like, it would be good to reflect on our own lives this morning. And I just want to make a suggestion that if we're not experiencing the presence of God in our lives, then perhaps it's our responsibility to go away and reflect. And I'm not trying to put a burden on anyone here, but I'm just asking people just to reflect and just to ask the Lord, because there are stories where things are really tough and it's difficult, and I understand. But sometimes you could be a little bit like me, and it's just a lack of pursuit of God. And so I want to just like ask you if you'd be willing just to reflect as I'm talking about your life and about the kind of structures of your life. How do you spend time with God? How do you create room? How are you building a space for the Lord to come and fill your life and dwell in your life so that you can live a presence-centered life? I want to have a look at a story in the Bible, and if you want to turn there, we're going to be in 2 Kings chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, go there, and I'm going to read it out to you. So we're in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 to 7, and it's the story of Elisha and the widow. And verse 1, it says this: "Now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha, Your servant, my husband is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, but the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves.' And Elisha said to her, 'What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?' And she said, 'Your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil.' Then he said, 'Go outside, borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels and not too few. Then go in and shut the door behind yourself and your sons and pour into all these vessels. And when one is full, set it aside.' So she went from him and shut the door behind herself and her sons. And as she poured, they brought the vessels to her. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, 'Bring me another vessel.' And he said, 'There is not another. Then the oil stopped flowing. She came and told the man of God, and he said, 'Go sell the oil, pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on the rest.'" And I want to pull a few things out of this passage for us this morning. And I want to start by saying that Elisha gave the woman an opportunity for a miracle to take place. He gave her an opportunity to partner with what God was doing. He gave her an opportunity to step into a place of faith where God could do something. And her faith to trust Elisha in his instructions, it created the space. So when we lean into faith, when we lean into what God is doing, it creates room. When we take steps of faith, it creates room for the presence of God to come in and to perform a creative miracle that can get us out of a sticky situation. The second thing I want to talk about is that the oil stopped flowing when the containers were full. And I think the issue wasn't really with the supply of oil. I mean, how many of us know that God is not lacking in his ability to pour out more of the presence of God in your life? He's not lacking in his ability to fill you more and to lead you further and to take you deeper and to take you into a greater knowledge of him in the kingdom. He's not lacking at all. The issue that caused the oil to stop flowing was the fact that there weren't enough containers to withhold the presence of God. And so the more containers that her kids went and got from the neighbors, and the more containers that they brought to her, the oil kept flowing. And like, I just want to say that when we are in our lives, What containers do we have that are holding the presence of God? What things are we doing? How can we create containers in our lives for the presence of God to fill? And I know that as we hear messages that sound a little bit like we need to do more to receive the presence of God, it can feel a little bit of a burden. And so I just want to just explain the fact that if it feels like a burden, it's actually a lie, because the third thing I want to pull out is that the widow, she started with what she already had. See, Elisha didn't say, like, go and get 3 or 4 jars of oil. She had the jar of oil in her cupboard. And so, like, when we come to think about how do we structure our lives, how do we create spaces and how do we create room for God to move, and how do we create space for him to dwell in our lives, we don't have to get bogged down with, oh, we need to do more, we need to try harder, we need to keep grinding until we get there. We can't earn his presence. We all have his presence inside of us. What we're doing by restructuring our lives, reprioritizing ways of God's presence filling us, it is simply just saying, God, I want to steward your presence well. And I want to go deeper, and I want to go further, and I want you to take me just like so much further than I could ever even imagine. And so when the woman had this oil in her cupboard, she comes and says, this is what I have, and God multiplied it. And so when you think about your life and you think about the burdens of life, you think about the struggles, you think about how much time you don't have for the Lord, and you think about maybe some of the excuses you might be able to relate to me and some of my excuses, and you think, man, I'm just struggling to even get up and feel positive for the day. And I just want to encourage you to think, well, what do you have in the cupboards of your life that you can bring to God and say, well, God, this is what I have. This is the container that I have. I'm asking you to fill it. I'm asking you to multiply it. I'm asking you to do more with me and to increase my capacity to host the presence of God. So I think we built like a pretty good case that we should be building a house of God in our lives. If we are temples of the Holy Spirit, then we need to take care of our temple. We need to create room. And if, like for me, I just want to have as many rooms for God to fill as possible. I want all the rooms of my life to be like fully on display, doors fully open for Jesus to walk around the house of my life, for him to have full permission to say whatever he wants to say. So I think we built a pretty good case that we should be looking to this, and we should be open to the presence of God filling our lives. But how do we do it? How do we do it? And I want to just get a little bit practical now and just explain some of the things that I've felt have been really helpful and beneficial to me in terms of containers that have helped me to host the presence of God in my life. And the first one is prayer. Prayer is an awesome container, and it is essential to the Christian walk. Like, you cannot get by as a Christian without praying and communicating with God. Prayer in its simplest form really is just communing with God, communicating, talking to him, telling him your heart, but then also listening and receiving and getting a download of God's heart. See, prayer really is a conversation between God and yourself. We see people in the Old Testament, Moses is an example of this, how he would come into God's presence and he would just talk. And they would talk as if they were friends. And actually, Jesus says that if you obey my commands, like, you are my friends, and I will reveal the Father's business to you. I think it's John 15. And so if we're friends with Jesus, then we can talk to him, we can pray, and he will download the things that are on his heart as well. But also praying in tongues. And for me, praying in tongues is something that really like takes me to a different level of in my prayer life, and being able to really pursue God and have him come and fill my prayers and come and speak through me. And then when I run out of things to say, when I run out of words, that scripture that Holy Spirit cries out with groans for me and intercedes on behalf of me before the Father. And so I just allow myself to open my prayer life and say, Holy Spirit, come and consume my prayer life. Come and speak to me. Come and commune with me in my prayers. The second thing that I found quite helpful as a container for my life, for the Holy Spirit to fill, is fasting. And if you're anything like me, I love my food, and it's pretty difficult to fast food. Like, honestly, I find it really quite a challenge because I love it too much. I love eating. Like, I'm pretty dependent on my meals for the day. But it makes it all the more beautiful and all the more incredible when you sacrifice and you lay down the things that you love the most for Jesus. And what fasting does, fasting for me, when I give up my food for a day or maybe just a couple of meals in a day or something like that, what it does is it creates a hunger in me. And it's a physical, like, hunger pains. And I'm reminded that actually what I'm doing is I'm stirring hunger up for the Lord's presence to come and fill me and to come and take me deeper. And it just turns my attention to what the presence of God is doing in my life. Fasting is an incredible way of getting ourselves out of the way and fixing our minds onto Jesus. And in times of great confusion, fasting has brought the greatest clarity to me. Like, I've just had a clear head, and I've managed to see things how God sees things, and he has just moved in the most incredible ways. And I've seen incredible manifestations of the Spirit of God in my life when I've been fasting. Whether I'm going to a speaking, like when I'm speaking at a youth camp or a church or something like that, and I've been fasting and praying and interceding for the time, and God just gives me his heart, he downloads his heart, and I'm weeping because I'm just capturing the heart of God for the people that I'm speaking to. And often when I'm fasting, he will just download his heart towards me as well. And it affirms my identity and it increases my capacity to host the presence of God. The third thing that I want to talk about is worship. And this is honoring God for who he is and celebrating his goodness. This is proclaiming and is a recognition that God is bigger and better than anything else in this world. He is the only one true God. He is much greater and much more able to conquer anything in life than any other thing that you're going to pursue in your life. And it is a recognition of that. And it can come through singing songs. It can come through proclamation of his goodness, whether it could be even in a prayer, actually. And you can pray out the Psalms, for example, or you can pray out, God is good. In my situation, I just proclaim, God is good. That is an act of worship. And if you read the Old Testament, Israel, they used the worshipers in battle at times. They would lead out sometimes with the worshipers at the front of the army into battle. And it's very interesting that when we cultivate our place of worship, as we build this container of worship for the presence of God, it actually prepares us to be more successful in the battlefield of life. It actually turns our attention to who God is and his greatness and his ability to come through for us. And as we lead out worshiping, proclaiming that God is good, it sets us up for success when we face challenges in life. The final thing I want to talk about is reading scripture. And what a better way to connect with God. Like, I mean, I can't think of a better way. At the moment, I'm reading through the Bible in chronological order, and I'm just getting downloads from the Holy Spirit, like, every day of just his goodness and his mercies and his kindness, and just getting things that I've never even, like, thought about before. And I'm just capturing an element of God's heart that I've never seen before. And we have God's living word on the pages of scripture right here in black and white ink. And this is the living word of God. And for me, it baffles me to think that some people, like, and seasons of my life as well, like, where I haven't wanted to read it. And I can guarantee that there'll be a lot of us in the room that probably struggle to get into the Bible every day, probably struggle to read something every day, and you know, we're all in different places. But I guarantee if Jesus walked through those doors at the back right now and he began to speak, I would shut up right away. Like, I wouldn't continue talking. I'd fall right on my face. And I guarantee all of us would turn our attentions, we'd fall on our face, and I'm hoping that we would all want to hear what he has to say to us, because his presence. And if he's speaking his words to us, men, like, we better pay attention. But when it comes to the Bible and we see his words, that literally these are God-breathed words. These are the very words out of the mouth of God in our hands. We've all got Bibles in our houses. And it's like, but why is it such a struggle to read it? And I think the devil, he comes in, and this is one of the biggest places I believe that he will attack our spiritual walks with God, because he knows these are the words of God that will cut deep, sharper than a double-edged sword. These are the words that bring life, that cut out the sin in our lives, bring correction, and they birth something in us that will just grow and grow and grow, so that we'll become more and more like Jesus every time we read it. And I tell you, the times when I've not read the Bible, I felt dry, I felt disconnected, I felt really low, a bit sort of heavy and stuff. And then when I've got into the scriptures, it's like breathing fresh air again. And the more I read it, the more it consumes me, and the more I want to read it. And the more I build a habit of it, the more I build a structure, and I say, no, God, I'm going to build this container. And maybe it's starting with what you have, like the widow in the story with Elisha. She started with her jar of oil. Maybe you have 10 minutes a day in your busy lives and in the tough times. Maybe you just say, oh, God, I'm just going to commit 10 minutes today, and I'm just going to read. And then tomorrow, I'm going to commit 10 minutes. And maybe you just read one chapter, and you take that one chapter every day for a week, and you just say, God, I just want to take 10 minutes. This is what I have to bring you, and I trust that you're going to fill it. It might be a small container to start with, but he's going to increase your capacity. He's going to increase your desire for the word of God, and he's going to radically transform you. I promise you, if you're willing to take a step on this journey of creating and building a space for God to dwell, it is his great pleasure and desire. You see it all throughout the scriptures, that he is closing the gap between him and his children, and it is his great pleasure to dwell in your life if you're open to building this space for him to come. So I want to bring a challenge and a very loving challenge that we would all go away and reflect this afternoon on our lives. And maybe you just want to journal some things down and just think, God, where am I? Like, what am I doing? Am I hungry for more? And maybe you're kind of doing a pretty good job and you've got pretty good like spiritual disciplines and practices, and you think, yeah, I'm doing okay. Let me tell you that there's more. Let's not get into the fall into the trap of thinking like, oh, we're okay, so we're just gonna keep going and we're just gonna like plateau and just keep going on one straight level line. No, we want to keep going up and up and up and up, because the presence of God is worth it. He's so worth it for us. So I want to bring a little bit of a loving challenge that we would go away and we would reflect and we would ask God, what are the containers that you want me to create in my life for you to fill? Maybe it's going on a prayer walk. Maybe it's spending a bit more time in worship. Maybe it's reading your Bible a little bit more. Whatever it is, you know, between you and the Lord. And I just want to ask you to go on a journey with him. I ask you to commit to going on a journey with the Holy Spirit, because I believe that this church, we're hungry for the presence of God. And I don't know about you, but my heart is for us to all be on our faces before the Lord in worship every Sunday. My heart is that God would manifest his presence in the room, where healings are like an everyday occurrence for us, where God's presence is celebrated. Like, I dream of just having Sundays where we're all jumping and dancing and shouting praises for God. Like, the presence of God requires us to be passionate, because you can't look at Jesus and not be passionate. And it requires an outward expression when God is really inside of us. But it comes when we go on an individual journey in our secret places, in our individual lives. And then when we've gone on that journey, we bring it to the corporate and all the individual flames come together, and it's a burning, consuming fire that happens on every Sunday. I'm talking about the meat of life. That we feast on the presence of God every day, and then we just get to be blessed by each other's walks with God on a Sunday. And so I want to bring that to us. I want to ask you if you would go on that journey. But I also want to do a bit of response, and I wondered if I could ask for the worship team, if the worship team are available, just to jump back up if possible, please. And if you could all just jump to your feet again. Sorry for the up and down, but... And what I want to do is, there might be some people in the room today who have been exploring faith. You've been exploring like whether or not you believe in Jesus, whether or not you want to follow him. And maybe you feel like, man, I have strayed so far from the presence of God that I just need to just say, yes, God, here I am. Like, I'm here and I need you. And I'm just going to make a recommitment of faith. Or maybe you're on that journey and you've just been exploring faith for the first time. You just want to say, yes, I'm in. Like, I'm all in, God. Like, I just want to do that. So if I can ask everybody just to, like, respectfully just close our eyes for a moment. And as we just throw this open, with every eye closed, I just would love, if that's you this morning, you feel like, yes, I need God. I've been searching. I've wanted him for a long time. And I want this kind of life where it's like, no, I want the presence of God to live inside of me. Then I would just ask you to raise your hand this morning if you want to give your life either a recommitment of faith or a new commitment of faith. That's awesome. Praise God. So we just thank you for all of these people, God, this morning, with their hands up, who've before you, God, who have said, yes, I want this life. I want this life where the Holy Spirit comes and lives in me and dwells in me, and he comes and he transforms me from the inside out. So we just pray, God, you answer hungry hearts, Lord. You satisfy the hungry. So we just ask, Holy Spirit, you would come this morning and you would come and satisfy our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. And the second thing I want to do as a response is maybe you've been walking with the Lord. You're secure in your salvation. You're secure in who God is and your walk with him. But you're just like, no, I'm so hungry. I need him. I need to be on my face before him. And I'm just going to ask you to boldly come to the front as a sign of partnering with what God wants to do in your life. And sometimes it takes a physical stepping out of our chairs. It takes a physical decision that I don't care what people think of me. I want God. And if he's really real, he's really worth it. And I'm going to come forward and I'm going to answer the call on my life this morning. So I'm going to ask you, if you're hungry and you want more of God, then I would just invite you forward as the worship team start playing. We're not going to do anything crazy, but this is just a moment between you and the Lord. I'm going to be up here at the front because I'm hungry. And I would just invite you guys to come and join me this morning as we go on this journey with the Holy Spirit.